morning, church. It's good to see you all this morning. I'm curious if anyone here has used a travel agent before. Can I see a show of hands? You guys know what a travel agent is then, right? Their job is to get you from point A to point B, correct? A good travel agent gives crystal clear instructions and directions. A travel agent, though, is best at what they do when they have already traveled to the destination before you. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. And lastly, a good travel agent is someone who is also not afraid to graciously and lovingly warn you of any pitfalls or dangers that lie ahead of you on your way to that ultimate destination, rain or shine. You see, to travel, you have to have the right expectations for the journey. You have to have a trusting heart in the journey. You have to put some faith in the one who has gone before you in the journey. Trust is important. And you must always, always have the long game in sight on the journey. But let me be clear. To truly benefit from a good travel agent, one has to be a humble traveler. You can't expect or decide to think you have all the right answers. You have to be prepared for the journey, for something that you're not expecting in the moment. Like the lights going out. But the good news is that we have something better than a travel agent, friends. We have something better than. We have Jesus Christ who has gone before us on this journey to our ultimate destination. So friends, the question I want you to ask yourself this morning as we look at God's word is, what kind of traveler are you? Are you a humble traveler? Are you antsy and excited to learn from the one who has gone before you this morning? Or do you already think you have all the answers? Do you already think that you have it all figured out? What kind of traveler are you this morning? So friends, if you would, please turn to Luke chapter 9 with me, verses 23 to 26. If you're using the Black Bible under the chair in front of you, it's going to be found on page 867. I'll give you a second to get there. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. And we're going to start with verse 23 and stop there. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Just pause there for a moment. Point number one this morning is the directions. If you want to follow Christ, friends, this is his directions to you this morning. Christian, non-Christian, whoever you might be this morning, sitting in these chairs, this is his call to you, the one who has gone before you, the God of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who knows that the lights are going to go out. He knows everything in front of you, and he calls you to himself. He invites you to be with him. He says, all, anyone, all of you, friends. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've seen. It doesn't matter what you've looked at, what you've experienced. It doesn't matter. He says, come after me. All. Youth, you're included in the all. Senior saints, you're included in the all. Everyone in between. He invites you to come after him. What a privilege. Are you struggling to believe that God cares for you this morning? Or that he actually could care for you this morning? Friend, he invites you right here to come after him if you so desire. He says, if you would. You know what that means? It means if you wish. Do you wish? If not, why not? Do you deeply desire? Do you have a hungering in your belly? We know what that feels like right around noontime today, right? Or 11:30 for some of us. Do you have that kind of hunger to come after Christ? Friends, if you do, he invites you to come after him. Friends, I would do anything today to plead with you to stop dragging your feet and to come to him today. Start today as the first day of the rest of your life, whatever you have left of it, and come to him, friends. Don't waste your life. You were made for more than trying just to make it in this world. You were made for more than just to get by on a daily basis. You were made in the image of God, in his likeness. He gave you purpose. He gives you hope and a future. And he has gone before, and he calls you to himself this morning, friends. Don't waste your life. We only get one shot at this, friends. So I want to ask you this morning, what is keeping you from coming to him this morning? What is it? What is holding you back? Christians, we are not designed to be indifferent to Jesus. We were not designed to pretend like everything is all right when it is clearly not. We were not designed to fake it until we make it. We were designed to go to the creator of the universe for everything we need and give him all that we are. This is your purpose. And what better purpose is there in life? There is no greater purpose than this. Chase after him, friends. What is it that's holding you back? What are you living for right now, this week, that is better than Jesus Christ? I've tried that for years. I fought him for years. But he was patient. He was gracious. And he waited for me to chase after him. He enabled me to chase after him by faith, friends, as a free gift from God. And he extends that to you this morning. So why aren't you coming to him? You see, we don't desire God without his help. And the good news of God is that he stands ready to help you. The Bible is clear. Christ is clear. He says, all you need to do is ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open to you. Not maybe, not potentially. Ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open to you, friends. So if you worry that you don't desire enough, if you worry that you don't have enough faith, if you worry that you have too many sins in your past, he says, ask, seek, Knock, and the door will be open to you this morning. It's a childlike faith, friends. But too often we overcomplicate it. But Jesus invites us to come. He points out three things that it looks like to have a saving faith. What it looks like to truly desire and love him. And what are these things we see in verse 23? Take a look again. Christ says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Now, I don't know about you, but that might not be what you're expecting for a sales call, is it? Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. A lot of times we see these words in the fine print on a commercial, do we not? But Christ isn't sneaky like that. Christ is honest. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. And he shows you, he blows up that fine print and he says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. This is not what it looks like to be a radical Christian, friends. This is what it looks like to be a real saved by faith, by grace alone Christian. This is a biblical Christian. A Christ follower is someone who denies themselves, take up their cross daily, and follows him. Does that define you this morning, Christian? Trust me, I've wrestled with this text all week, and it is a tough one to truly consider. Is every avenue of your life look like this? Everything. We sang about it this morning. But friends, I wonder why these three things that are kind of mixed into one category altogether, why does this surprise us? Does it make you uncomfortable like it made me this week? I have to admit, it is a difficult text because it goes against everything we want for ourselves and our selfish desires and our pride out of our own strength. We want to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We want to be a self-made man, made woman, right? We want to be independent. But that's not what he calls us to. He calls us to something better, something more fulfilling, something more satisfying. And he calls us to what? Himself, friends. The God of the universe. I don't know how else to say that because words can't describe how amazing that is. The God of the universe speaks to you and me. He came for you and me. If that doesn't squash all anxiety and fears and discomfort, I don't know what will. Denying yourself, though, is not the same as denying your personality. It's not saying deny your gifts and your abilities. It's not to become a monk and go off grid and just focus on the Bible. He's saying deny your selfishness. Deny your selfish ambition. Define and just forget about your identity. Our identity is only found in Christ, friends. This is what we were made for. So he's saying deny yourself. Get off the throne room. Get off the throne of your heart this morning. It is not about us, friends. It's about him. And I struggle with this. Every time I come to teach, I am anxious as all get out, to be honest with you. And my wife looks at me because she is an amazing wife and helper, my best friend. She looks at me and she says, babe, don't forget, it's not about you. And I need that reminder. We all need these reminders, friends. We need each other in each other's lives to remind us what the big picture is, what the ultimate destination is, what the long game is. It's not about you. Who cares about self-governance and self-autonomy and getting there your own way? Because Jesus is going to warn us in a few minutes, it's not going to work out like you think. But what does it really look like to deny yourself in your daily life? At times, it might look like this. Less of a plan and more of an open hand, friends. Deny your want to control everything and realize it's less of a plan and more of an open hand. Remember that this week, friends. It's going to look different in each situation. How old you are, if you have a family, if you're single, whatever it is, deny yourself. But practically, it can look like a mom. Moms, you guys are amazing. Denying yourself as you serve your children when you are tired and worn out, and showing them the character of God in those moments. Fathers, it looks like loving your wives as Christ loves the church. And how did he love the church? He died for the church. So are you dying to self in each of these categories, friends? What about if you're dealing with illness? What about if you're sick and you're tired and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired? You understand that? Tim Keller, he was recently diagnosed, I guess last year or so, with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, which is incredibly serious and likely will take his life at some point. But he wrote, when he tweeted about this, he said, "I have stage 4 pancreatic cancer, but it is endlessly comforting to have a God who is both infinitely more wise and more loving than I am. He has plenty of good reasons for everything he does and allows that I cannot know, and therein is my hope and my strength," friends. Is that you this morning? Are you struggling with chronic disease, with sickness? Friends, be encouraged. This is not the end. But what you do with that matters. How you live in that, and that hard, hard time matters. It is not just another step in life. At the end, it is a way you can sacrifice your life, your good, deny yourself for the glory of God in those times. So whether this looks like moving overseas, whether that's cutting some things out of your budget you might not need for the sake of his glory, his purpose, whether that looks like loving our neighbors even when it hurts, even when you're tired, even when you're an introvert, to die to ourselves sometimes and to go the extra mile and to be Christ's hands and feet, friends. This is what it looks like to deny ourselves. So friends, consider these questions this week. Who is calling the shots in your life? Is it you? Or is it God? How can you know that? You can know that because when you open the word and you see his commands that are for your good and for his glory, if you see something that you are going against, and you're like, I don't think I'm going to go that far. I'm going to go just about right here, but not all that way, Lord. And if you're saying, Lord, I can't handle following you all the way. Well, friends, that means you are running your life. That means you are deciding what is best for you, what is good for you. And he has already warned us that is not going to work out for you, friends. So sometimes denying yourself might look like repenting of sin that you're holding deep down inside, dealing with the shame, with the guilt. And how can you do that? Because he is your helper, and he calls you to himself, friends. Whose glory are you living for? Is it yourself, or is it his self? Is it yourself or his self? I think my worst fear is for us to hear the call of Christ this morning, to have much in the world as American Christians and to play the game, to do the right things and to look good on the outside, but to be nothing but empty tombs inside. To feel good about how we look, and look, we look like we're following Christ, but are we really following him? Who's on the throne? I fear most of us hear the word of God kind of like the rich young ruler once heard it. He had much in this world. We, all of us, have much in this world. But he heard the call of Christ and he walked away sad. He walked away sad, head down, wanting eternal life, but trading it for the world, for the temporary, for the here and now. And we can judge that, right? We can say, oh, what was he thinking? But friends, we do that every day, don't we? We are tempted to do that every day. What about you this morning? I pray so badly that we would be like the prodigal son instead, friends, as Pastor Bill preached on last week, to come to ourselves. I love that part of the passage where it says, he came to himself. The light bulb went on. His eyes were open. God awakened his heart. He was a humble traveler, and he realized his need for a savior. He was willing to do anything. His hunger was great to come back to the Father. And how did the Father respond? He comes running to him. He swoops him up. He throws him a party. So friends, if God is that Father in this example that Jesus is sharing, why aren't you coming to him? Why don't we trust him with all of our lives? Verse 23, though, he goes a little further, doesn't he? Don't just reject yourself. Don't just neglect your sense of autonomy, your self-rule, but he says, pick up your cross daily. What is a cross? You all know what it is by now, right? But friends, the cross was an instrument, an invention of death, of shame, of embarrassment, of mockery for someone who was guilty. And Christ was not guilty. We are guilty, friends. But Christ took your place. He went on your behalf. He traveled the path before you and calls you to himself. The best part about this is, though, is that he knows you're going to fail. He knows you're still going to sin. He knows you're going to struggle. Or maybe you don't. Do you? Amen. Verse 23, though, he points out that it's a daily task. It's a continual task. Every moment, every second, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because, friends, we are in a fight. The fight of your lives. And that's not hyperbole. But take heart. You have a help in this fight. You have the one who's gone before you. And I love this picture because it reminds me of something my dad would always say to me growing up. When I was afraid or nervous to do the right thing or to do anything, he would look at me and he would stoop to my level and he would look me in the eyes and he'd say, son, don't you know I would never ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do myself? Do you see what I'm saying here? Jesus Christ was willing to come, do this, and show you how to live. Willing to show you how to die, how to deny yourself, how to humble yourselves, friends, so that you didn't have to go it alone. Because we all know we couldn't go it alone. He is your helper. He is with you in your present troubles. I mean, you can think of 1,000 reasons that are examples of people who have come to die. You look at Abram, left his securities, left his what he knew, what he was comfortable in, left it to follow Christ. You can look at Jesus, who left the Father's right hand, came to be a man, a human. Who would want to live in a world that is broken all the time? That you suffer. And he didn't come as a king with great riches on this earth. Friends, he came as a servant, as the poor, as the needy, to save sinners like you and me. He denied his glory. He waited. He died, and he was resurrected. And he, friends, he invites you to not just come to a death, come to a rejection of yourself, but he invites you to come to the resurrection. He invites you to see him in glory, friends. This is the gospel. And these are his directions, friends. So stop trying to be the king and start trusting the one who is this morning. The destination, point number two. For whoever would save his life, verse 24. But whoever saves his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Christ gives us directions, clear directions. He gives us an invitation, a call to come to him, to deny yourself, to take up your cross daily and follow him. But he also gives us warning, friends. He knows there is only one way this ends for each of us. And you have two choices. All roads lead to God, but they won't pan out the way you might think. Pastor was teaching about this last Wednesday, that every road does lead to the one true God. But not every road leads in his peace and his joy for all eternity. Because there is judgment that is coming, friends. Right judgment, the wrath of God poured out on sinners and enemies of God. It's not a joke. It's not something to brush off this morning. He has given you a call, an opportunity that we need to not only receive ourselves, but share with everyone. A call to the God of the universe. Look again at verse 24. He says, whoever would save his life will lose his life. He says, he will lose his life. You want to save your life, friends? Do you want to save your soul? Protect your throne? Ensure your life, stock up the barns, feed the fattened calves. He says you will surely, surely die. This is an eternal death he is talking about, friends. This is an eternal warning for us this morning. While we are living, while we are breathing, this is our chance to come to the Father through Jesus Christ, our only Savior, our only mediator between God and man. Your sin separates you from God. My sin separates us. But Christ came that you could be made right with God by trusting him. And trusting him looks like following him, friends. Jesus is warning you this morning. I know you want to save your life, but if you look to yourself, you're going to lose your life. On the other hand, though, Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake, for God's sake, for Christ's sake, will in fact save it. You will save your life if you lose your life. for Christ, for his glory, for his purpose, for his mission. Make disciples of all nations. Deny yourself, deny your priorities, your dreams, your hopes, your identity, and find it all in Christ. This is how you save your life, friends. The problem is, a lot of us, I thought about this week. The problem is, a lot of us are kind of like, we love our lives, we're amazed by our lives. It kind of reminds me of these baby chicks we have on the farm, right? Just hang in there with me. They're cute, they're cuddly, you just want to hold them, you want to run around with them. But imagine a little kid runs in there. He's super excited about these chicks, right? He's like, oh my gosh, look at these things. I want to hold them. He keeps trying to hold them. They keep slipping out of his hand. And then eventually, he goes to grab them. And he holds on so tight that it destroys that life. Much in the same way we treat our lives. We think it's so cool. We want to be ourselves, be our own me's. And Christ is saying, you will destroy your life that way, friends. But notice the promise. Second half of verse 24 again. He says, he promises, he assures you this morning. But then the opposite is also true. Whoever loses his life for his sake will save his life. Only when you lose it, friends. Only when you take that leap of faith. And it is a leap of faith. Because we are hardwired to trust ourselves more than anybody else. We've been hurt, right? You have placed trust in people who have not come through, who have hurt you. And it's happened in the church. It's happened in the world. We are not to be trusted at all times, are we? But he is, friends. He is not like us. He is better than. And in this case, he is better than life. Better than all the riches in the world, friends. Better than being comfortable in the here and now. Better than giving up. He gives you a purpose. It doesn't matter who you are, what age group you're in, you can start giving up your life for him today, friends. For the rest of your life, you can make it ornaments of God's glory on earth, friends. But don't wait. The worst thing you can do is wait this morning. Don't put off another day. Jesus says he gives you both a logical and an emotional reason why. Look at verse 25 and 26. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father. Friends, he says time and time again, there is great benefit, great profit, great enjoyment, great satisfaction, great peace, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of denying yourself, this is where you find yourself. So stop trusting in self and trust in him. This is how you gain your life. This is how you experience joy. This is how you experience peace that surpasses all understanding. Just like we saw from our brother who's struggling with cancer. He doesn't understand it all. It's a fight. It's a daily work to take up your cross, to lift it high, to let your selfish desires die. It's a daily process, friends. But he is able to help you. And he's calling you to himself. He's saying, I can handle this because I've already done it. I am your God. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. So come to him because there is a judgment day. There is a day that you can be found in him or outside of him. And friends, he says what that looks like. If we deny him, if we are ashamed of him, if we aren't proud of his name, proud of his mission, play the long game for eternal life, for the glory of God and the good of others, if we aren't doing that in every walk of our lives, he will be ashamed of us on judgment day. I can't think of a worse outcome. Can you? Revelation 1, 7 through 8 says, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him." Even so, amen. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty." But friends, are you submitting to him everything like he is the Almighty? Or are you making yourselves almighty? And we see how that's going to turn out in the end. Friends, I was listening to a song this week. I love the lyrics. I'm just going to read it to you. "I found a treasure that can't be broken. Found a well that won't run dry. O worldly pleasure, be now forsaken. Behold what love, what life is mine. And in the trial when storms are raging, though tears may fall, my soul will rise. For there's a peace that is mine, unchanging. There is a joy that never dies. When life is passing and strength is fading, I'll see the one that I adore, that I desire. Let this world vanish. Oh, give me Jesus, my great desire, my true reward." Is he your true reward this morning, friends? Or is there something in your heart greater that is holding you back from life and life eternal? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you that you are a God who invites us to yourself. Lord, how is it that you are mindful of us? How is it that you put up with us? How is it that you love us so much, Father? Lord, I ask that we would open every door of our hearts that we hold back from you this morning and in the coming days, and that we would allow you to walk into the rooms of our hearts and say, "Lord, whatever you want, wherever you'll take me, whatever you call me to, I will follow." And Father, we ask that if anyone doesn't know you as their truest desire, their truest treasure this morning, that they would repent and believe, because it's so easy. You make it so clear, and you are so good, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.